for you. You're looking out from youthful height at all there is to do. You're scared of what you cannot see. The future that you face is a mystery. Such a mystery. My heart belongs to you, just to you, from now until forever. Can you feel it deep inside? This love we share will not die. Never gonna die.
Good evening, folks. This is Pastor John Kyle with you again here. Here we are, the last Friday of October, and I'm glad to be with you tonight. I had some physical issues I had to deal with the last couple weeks, and but thank you, Jesus. Now, he is my healer. I'm getting better by the grace of God, and so I'm glad to be back with you. Thank Jesus for his healing power. And we know what the scripture says, right? He forgiveth all our iniquity and healeth all our diseases. Man, I hold fast to his word, I tell you. Especially after all that we've been through. And we continue to pray for Linda. She's not as well as I am yet, but she's in Jesus' name, she's healed too. And we just thank God for healing her as well. So lift her up in prayer. Thank God for Linda's healing. And we know this month has been a month of attack on so many. Russ Dizdar dying. His wife's in the hospital in bad shape. And Al Cuppa dying. And Tom Horn sick now. And Steve, of course, has been sick. And so, yeah, a lot of physical effects on people. And one of the reasons is because of the month that it is. It's Halloween, and people don't realize what they're dabbling with. You know, we're seeing Satanism and witchcraft in massive manifestation right now. And COVID is a demonic manifestation of death and witchcraft, as far as I'm concerned. And COVID should wake up and war against the evil beings that have been released here through this COVID time, and realize that the actual level of real spiritual conflict going on right now is pretty intense right now. A lot of people don't realize it, and yet we got all these Christians going to be partaking of Halloween, really. They're having these harvest parties in their churches and their groups, and, you know, really. I saw a lady just recently just had trick-or-treat all over the place, on her tattooed on her and on her stuff that she owned. And it's just disgusting. And it's how they're opening up themselves to evil spirits that don't even realize it. But, you know, you give out food to evil spirits. The people were actually sacrificing to these demons and worshiping the devil. And today when they give out food or candy to children, even if they're dressed up as angels or whatever, Abraham or whatever, it doesn't matter. One is doing the same thing that the self did. If you participate in giving out treats, you're actually sacrificing to demons and worshiping the devil. And that's what a lot of Christians need to wake up and realize, that they're partaking of this demonic day of darkness, and they glorify Satan, and where he tries to do in every Christian he could do in and get away with. Listen, you're not just playing with little lightweight things here. Okay, it's a serious stuff that people are dabbling with in the occult, and definitely going to have some bad issues happen if they continue to do that. And of course, Christians are doing it. They dress up as whatever as a Christian and participate in it. I wouldn't participate at all. Our churches haven't participated for years in it in any way, shape, or form. And doesn't dress up as anything, okay? Don't dress up as Abraham or anything. We don't even participate in that day whatsoever, because to do so, you're just opening up yourself to demons. You open yourself to demonic attack, and you will suffer for it. And that's what people don't realize, that they are suffering for things, and they don't know why they're suffering. Well, they're suffering because they dabbled in the occult and don't even know they're dabbling in the occult. Oh, we put the Christian name on it. Well, that doesn't matter. You put Christian names on whatever you want. That doesn't mean you make it Christian, right? Yeah. All right. So be on guard here, because I'm telling you, a lot of people are cursing themselves over this weekend and as Christians. Don't even realize it. And they're going to be allowing things to happen to themselves that wouldn't happen normally. Anyway, all right, so more news. Florida reaches lowest COVID case rate in the nation without any mandate or lockdown. Yeah, that tells you something, too. So Sanctuary for Freedom is what Montana Governor Gianforte takes a stand for states' rights. Governor says that we are the only state in the country that says it's a personal decision whether or not a person wants to get vaccinated. We had 16 years of Democrat governor, and I inherited a set of impractical mandates, Governor said, and we unwound all that. Well, good for him for taking a stand against it here. But you know, we put up with the Democrats here running this state for a long time. And thank God for now that we have some good people in office, and by the grace of God. New York City municipal workers march against vaccine mandates. Thousands of them are. Yeah, and young man murdered in Zion, the mom was murdered in Zion, Illinois, while reading the Bible to her infant. That's right. So pray that this wicked killer will be caught and prosecuted. Yeah. Another Halloween demonic manifestation against believers. You need to realize what's really going on here. This is spiritual warfare, and it doesn't get easier. Actually, it's going to get harder before the return of Jesus here. Fauci under fire from Republicans and Democrats for alleged research that tortured and killed beagle puppies with flesh-eating parasites and tax dollars funding of it, too, you know. So, yeah, just a murderer, the animal murderer and people murderer, and on the list goes of this wicked individual, old Fauci. And I'm not going to call him a doctor. What, he's Dr. Death, Doctor of Death, Doctor of Evil? I wouldn't give him any kind of, kudos whatsoever. Ron DeSantis, Governor Ron DeSantis, plans a $5,000 bonus for unvaccinated policemen to relocate to Florida. That's right. Florida is welcome, ready to welcome police who are losing their jobs due to vaccine mandate. Well, good for Florida. Yeah, Florida is also opening up to the shipping lane, too. It said, hey, you can't get unloaded in California. Come here, we'll get you unloaded. Yeah, good for them. Israel reopening to tourists who are fully vaccinated. No, thank you. I've been to Israel twice. I'm sure not going to go with that, having to go have a vaccination. That's sure not going to go in there. For that, just to go see it again for that when I've been twice already. It's got a lot of demons in Israel, that's for sure. I found that out going there twice and dealing with the demons there in that area. Just because Jesus was died and rose from the dead there doesn't mean that there aren't a whole lot of demonic spirits in the land of Israel. There certainly are. All right. So welcome to the program today. We're going to open up in prayer. And again, I may not have the best voice tonight, but we're going to share some word with you tonight and hope that you'll be blessed by it. And remember the time that it is, be in prayer, stand against the wickedness out there that's going on, and realize what you're dealing with. It's not just a little toy game that people play once a year. No, it's serious business for Satanists and witches and occultists and certain rituals and spells which can only be cast on Halloween night or can be released here this weekend. So, hey, it's time to be on guard and to be binding and loosing and breaking the power of the enemy and not allow these things to take place to oppose you as a Christian and your family and do wicked things. Animal and human sacrifice are being offered this weekend. So, hey, we come against all that wicked stuff in Jesus' name. And no devil, amen. Let's open up in prayer here today as we get into today's program. Praise God. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for every listener to the program, to the broadcast. And ask your blessing on them, on their health, and on their walk with you, that they would get closer to Jesus, Father. Time that we live in that is a very strange time, a very different time from anything that we've been a part of before in our short life history. But Lord, we know that you're greater than all of it. And we thank you, Lord, for the power of God, Lord. Thank you for healing in our body, Father. Thank you for healing my wife completely. And me completely, and those others out there that might be attacked in their body in some way, shape, or form. We rebuke the devourer. We rebuke infirmity, sickness, disease of their bodies as well in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit tonight, Father. Thank you that you will speak through me, Father, by your Holy Spirit. Thank you that, Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness, Father. That blood is pure. That blood is cleansing. And that blood is holy. And I want to thank you for the blood of Jesus today. What precious blood that is that we've been blessed to have such an honor as priests and kings to handle that blood and use it in the authority that but we've been given by heaven. Oh, what a glory that is. Hallelujah. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the power of the blood. Thank you for the power and authority of the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the demons tremble at the blood. They hate the blood of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. We thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Thank you, Lord, that we have the strength of the Holy Spirit living in us right now, Lord. And that's powerful strength, I tell you, Lord. We thank you that, Lord, we could do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And right now we're living in that strength and functioning from that strength, that only that kind of strength will get us through the days ahead that we're living in that are so different than anything we've ever seen or experienced in our lifetime. But, Lord, we know that your hand is on us, Lord, and that you're going to continue to be on your people and take care of us. And we give you the glory and praise for that. In Jesus' name, we give you all the glory. Everybody say amen. Amen. All right. In Jesus' name, we're going to get into the word here tonight and hope it, it'll be a blessing to you and that the power of God would manifest here. Amen. In each of our lives. And that we would just grow closer and grow deeper in our walk with Jesus. And I tell you, there's nothing more important than your walk with Jesus right now. That's for sure. And if you think there is, then you're sadly deceived and mistaken, because there's nothing more important than your walk with God. And it's time to be full of Jesus, full of God. Amen. All right, let's get into this tonight as we open up here in the Word. Now we're going to be understanding victory. For the offended, basically, is the title, and we're going to understand victory for the offended. Let's go to 1 John 3:8 as we open up here tonight. If you're looking in your Bible, look at 1 John 3:8, and let's read it. It says here, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil." Hallelujah. This is it, family. This purpose of the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Sickness, poverty, defeat are all works of the devil. You sure about that, Pastor Kyle? Yes, I'm sure about that. Is God going around making his people defeated, poor, sick? I don't believe so, okay? That's a religious spirit, okay, and manifestation that would try to get you to believe such a thing as that, okay? Jesus went about healing the sick and casting out devils wherever he went. That was his manifestation. Amen. And he hadn't changed today, okay? So see, what we have here is a contradiction of his nature. When we say that God's going around making people defeated, poor, and sick, That's definitely a contradiction of the nature of God. And what is God's nature? You know what his nature is? It's love. God is love. That's right. And love definition is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, remember? And see, Jesus came to destroy the power of anything that keeps us from being free in Christ Jesus, see? If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed, the Bible says. And see, the Son has set us free. And there's a great liberation there in the freedom that the Son gives. But not every believer, just because they're a believer, is partaking of that. But that doesn't mean you can't. But nevertheless, a lot of them are not partaking of what Jesus has come to do. Jesus came to destroy the power of everything that keeps you from being free in Jesus, right? And so this kind of knowledge offends people. Why would this kind of knowledge offend people? Why would that happen? What kind of knowledge is it? Well, the knowledge that Jesus came and is here to destroy the works of Satan by the works of God, right? I mean, that offends some people. In fact, the Bible says it does. But let's read a few scriptures here. Mark chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. "And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand. And is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And what happened? Read the next line. And they were offended at him. They were offended at him. Okay? More so than not, it's the people found in the churches that are offended at Jesus. What's going on with that? Where was Jesus speaking at? He's speaking in the synagogue, in the church. In fact, we see that when Christians walk like Jesus did, it still offends a lot of religious folks, okay? And we've seen a lot of religious folks offended when Jesus just walks the way Jesus is supposed to walk, the way he is, the way he says he is in his word. Hey, they get offended, right? Yeah. And so see what he was saying that irritated them so much. What was he saying that irritated them so much? Well, the same thing he's saying today in Luke 4:18. Remember what it said in Luke 4:18? It said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Hallelujah. And the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. See, that offended people. Okay? And it still offends people today. Look at verse 28 here. It says, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Can you imagine getting mad about Jesus setting the captives free? You know, what kind of devils would do that, see? Yeah, the kind of devils it'd be, right? Yeah. So they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him into the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. In other words, they weren't able to do it. They tried to kill him, but they couldn't kill him. But notice back to verse Mark chapter 6. What is behind the offense? What is behind the offense? Let's go back to Mark 6 and read here again, verse 5 and 6. Mark 6, 5 and 6. Are you there? Okay, and he could do there no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folks and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. They were offended at him, right? So offended at him. Unbelief. See, when you're offended at Jesus and his works and his words, it immediately goes about to rob you of all your faith. That's right. If we believe this, we'll have to change. Okay, I'll have no more excuse for staying this way. I'll have no more excuse for being offended. But hey, offense equals unbelief. And if you get offended at casting out demons in church or preaching healing and joy, then hey, say goodbye to your faith. For those things, any way to operate in your life, it ain't going to happen. Right? Because, you know, unbelief. Offense is unbelief. It equals unbelief. And people become offended when deliverance is fervently taught. In fact, many times Jesus offended the people through the speaking of the truth. And you know what? You will too. That's right. If you speak the truth, you're going to offend somebody. If you speak the truth, and most people don't really want to hear the truth because that truth is offensive to them. Right? And no, they don't want to. They're not supposed to hear it. The devil don't want you hearing the truth because you know the freedom that can actually be there. If you actually learn to receive truth and love the truth and become a lover of the truth. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So many times Jesus offended the people through the speaking of truth. And so you're going to do the same today. If you really get out there and you tell people the truth about things, about the Word of God, I mean, you know a lot of people, they want to hear things, but they want to have it on their own way. They don't want to have it the way that God wants to give it to them. And they have what the Bible says, itching ears, right? They hear it the way they want to hear it. And that's been true throughout the Bible. Matt, let's look at Matthew 15. Verse 12. Matthew 15, verse 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Oh, poor Pharisees. Oh, the poor Pharisees were offended. And they tell Jesus, you offended the Pharisees. Huh? You see that? Yeah, keep reading here. Verse 13, but he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Yeah, he said, let them alone. In other words, disregard them, ignore them, don't pay them any attention. You know, there's some people in the churches that we need to disregard and not pay them any attention because they're blind leaders of the blind. Okay? And this is what we have to do to those who are like offended at the truth too. Fine, you don't like it? Well, don't believe it then and leave them alone. You know, just leave them alone. Some people you just need to cut off because they're going to be nothing but trouble to you anyway. You know, they're just going to be troublesome to you. They're going to stand against truth and they're going to believe what they want to believe anyhow. Hey, and so just leave them alone. That's what Jesus said. And Jesus, you think he might know what he's talking about? I think so, right? Matthew 11, 6, it says, And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Hallelujah. See, there are people that are offended, but you know what? When you're not offended in Jesus, you're blessed. You're blessed when you're not offended at the truth and you receive the truth and you love the truth. Blessed and happy are those who receive the truth, right? Blessed and happy are those who are not offended in me. Matthew 11, 6. Blessed, happy, full, without stumbling, well off. That's what that means. And Jesus taught boldly and spoke the truth with boldness. And he was not a secret agent representative of God. I mean, Jesus went public, right? Jesus went public, and we need to go public too. I mean, we all these secret closet Christians today, really, afraid of what, they're going to offend somebody, afraid that they're going to say something people aren't going to like. And come on, something's wrong with that. Something's wrong with that. Jesus taught boldly, with boldness, holy boldness. I mean, he was not a secret agent representative. He wasn't. No, he was bold as a lion, and he was the lion of the tribe of Judah, right? He is. And so they were offended. Look at Matthew 13. Let's read it, 57 here. 13:57. It says here, and they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So here we see it again. Unbelief was there. When you're offended, unbelief is there. And some of you are offended right now, and you don't even know you're offended in. And it's been a hindrance to you, and you need to turn away from that offense. You need to clear that up, you know, really. You, Christian, if you really want to be all that you could be in God, you're going to have to go public. Quit being a namby-pamby, hiding away Christian, you know, closet Christian, continually having all kinds of problems. And some are sick all the time. Some are defeated. Some are depressed. Some are, you know, it's fat to the full of the word and lazy because, hey, we're fat and we never give out of what we have. We never can get ahead. We have lots of secret sins and suffer under satanic demonic attacks. And while we are controlled by demons, and some even ashamed of the gospel. because you're a closet Christian. And what does being ashamed of the gospel do anyway? Well, it robs you of all power, robs you of the power of God. Listen, we need, like never before, we need to be walking in the power of God. We need to bind and loose. We need to use the keys of the kingdom. We need to be resisting the enemy and being in flee. We need to be casting out devils. We need to be unashamed of who and what we are like never before, because we're living in times like never before, right? And if you're living in times like never before, it calls for ways of being like never before. Romans 1:16. It says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but of the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. So first of all, we can't be ashamed. We can't be ashamed. Secret agent Christians are wimps. Okay? Jesus was definitely not a secret agent of God. And for this, what did? They crucified him. Yeah. And you think that Christians won't be crucified today too? You think that they won't persecute you if you're bold like you're supposed to be bold? Hey, come on. We've got to realize that this is only for a short time, and then Jesus comes back. And we need to realize that if we're trying to compromise to get by, then we're missing something here. Okay? Jesus was definitely not a secret agent of God. And they persecuted him and they put him on the cross. And if you don't like to hear this kind of teaching, well, that makes two of you, you and the devil too, right? Because the devil don't want to hear this kind of preaching either. He doesn't want to hear about the truth. He doesn't want to hear be bold. He doesn't want to hear that we are the bold righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. No, he don't want to hear that. And he wants to shut it down. And shut Christians down today, shut me down, shut you down, shut us all down if he can get away with it. But in Jesus' name, he's not going to get away with it, see? Amen. Hey, if your life is boring, you got to go public, right? Don't be ashamed of the gospel. I guarantee you it'll cease to be boring. A lot of Christians are bored. I get tired of hearing, oh, I'm so bored. Really? You think that Jesus was bored when he walked the face of the earth? You think that we should be anything less than what he was? No, he said that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we need to go around casting out devils. We need to go around praying for the sick. We need to be bold as a lion. We don't need to be any different. What's the matter with people saying I'm bored, Christians that are bored today? Hey, the Christian life is not boring. And if your life is boring, go bold in Jesus. I guarantee you won't be boring anymore. See, public figures don't live boring life. You know, I have no respect for that Biden person, but he certainly, he may be wrong. He is wrong, definitely. But he, I tell you what, he may receive a lot of criticism, but, you know, he's known. And he's known to be pure evil. That's exactly what the man is, pure evil. As far as I'm concerned, he's controlled by nothing but devil. But, hey, his life is certainly not boring, and he sure gets the criticism, and it's definitely well-deserved criticism. But he's known, or we could look at the other way. President Trump was known, too, right? Yeah, he wasn't living a boring life. Well, and you could be known, too, in hell and in heaven and on earth. Don't hold back. Don't zip those lips any longer. I mean, hey, remember, people are not offended at you. It's Jesus they get offended at. It's Jesus, you know, that offends people. It's Jesus. Hey, if you really love God more than yourself and your money and your family and everything, nothing will offend you from God, and it'll just bring peace. The peace that passes understanding. God wants us to walk in his peace today. He doesn't want us to walk in fear and confusion and worrying about everything. So many Christians are so worried about too many things, and the demons have got they've got a hold on them there because of that. Psalms 119:165. It says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You love the word of God, you have great peace, and you won't get walking around offended, see? nothing that calls you to stumble or get all bent out of shape over something in the Word or something said by some preacher or something said by Jesus in his Word. Hey, and if you do stumble, you get up and be bold and keep on walking and trusting Jesus and don't look back. Don't be like Lot's wife and look back, turn to a pillar of salt. See, a lot of people are going to look back during this day that we live in today. And as they look back, they pick up demons. As they look back, they get turned into something that, you know, they weren't intended to be, that God had no intention for them to be. Like Lot's wife, when she looked back, she turned a pillar of salt. She lost it all. She lost it all. See? Yeah. So don't let things cause you to stumble and get all bent out of shape. And get up and be bold. Keep walking and trusting Jesus. And don't look back. Quit blaming everybody else for your failures, too. Listen, don't live a victim mentality life. A lot of people are doing that today in the churches. And living a victim mentality. They blame everything and ever on somebody or God, right? And they're offended at God. Or they're offended at some preacher. They're offended at some Christian. Offended at this, that, or the other, you know. Hey. Quit blaming everybody for your failures. You choose your life. You make the choices you're making, you know. You either choose prosperity, or you choose poverty, you choose God's blessing, or you choose to live under the curse. See, God has made a way for each one of us to be victorious in Christ, in him. Hey, but it's up to you. See, it's not up to somebody else. Hey, it's up to you. And a major step in victorious living is to stop getting offended. Stop getting offended. And then you will start believing again, and faith will soar up to receive from the heavenlies of God. And you can have things of the heavenly realm. See, listen, God is not short on the heavenly thing. He has an abundant supply. But it's just that people have to get in there where they can receive them. You know, and they got to get the devil out the way that's hindering them from receiving them, okay? Hey, you have more power inside of your spirit right now than you will ever use or need here in this life. And so many believers are just not partaking of what they've been given. Hey, it's there. It's available. It's yours. But you got to receive it, walk in it, possess it, because God in you is all-powerful. He's in you, and he is all-powerful. Begin to be as fearless as the Lion of Judah in you is. Amen. Say, I will not be offended at your words, O Lord. I receive your words. I love your words. I love you, Lord. I love the victory that's in Christ Jesus. And even if they make my flesh uncomfortable sometimes, I may know that sometimes the things of God can make your flesh very uncomfortable. Because the demons are dwelling in your flesh. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And so, yeah, the things of God can certainly make your flesh very uncomfortable and very offended. Yeah. And I'm telling you one thing, you've got to just die to that. You've got to just die to that. You can't let the flesh have a dominant area in your life, a controlling, dominant ability inside of you. You got to say, no, no. Listen, I'm not offended at you, Lord. I'll just receive from you. Amen? Amen. Start thinking of yourself as victorious. Proverbs says the righteous are bold as a lion. You need to start seeing yourself as what you really are. No more closet Christianity. I mean, reject those spirits of offense and unbelief. These are demons sent to hold you down and hold you back. How many realize that a lot of believers today are held down and held back by demons? And they don't understand what's going on in their life. They don't understand why they're held back so much of the time. See? You know, so much of what, you know, gets to a Christian is a secret sent from hell being of darkness. Why? Well, because it works. Because it works. How many know that the devil uses what works? And how many know that he knows what works after 2,000 years? How all these 1,000 years of attacking the church, and before that, prior to the church, attacking Israel and and Adam and Eve and on the list went. He knows what works. He got good at it, and he knows what works against Christians, and he knows what works against people who believe. So we need to reject those spirits because they're sent to hold you down, okay? And we don't need to be held down by anything from hell, okay? Because it holds you down, your walk with Jesus. If it didn't work, it would quit, right? The devil would quit using it if it didn't work. But how many know it does work? So he keeps on sending them your way. And many things come your way because they work. See? You have to understand that. If they weren't working, they wouldn't be sending them our way. They're coming our way because they're working against us. And too many believers, they don't even know how easily they are manipulated by evil spirits. And that's sad today because we see it so many easily manipulated into a certain position that the enemy has prepared for them. And they fall into these positions so easily. And it's a snare to the soul. Snare to the soul. And we don't want to live in that kind of thing. God called us to live in God's blessing, folks. And there is a place to live in the blessing. And maybe you're mad at God and maybe you're offended at some of the things that you've gone through in life. And you know what? A lot of people get offended that way. But you know, does it mean that if God is really doing something bad to you? No, it's not. It's just your perception of things, the demonic perception that demons put in your mind and make you see things a way that is not accurate. Come on. There's a place you can live where God's blessing is fulfilled. But have your dreams been shattered? Have you been looking for blessing and it seems like all you're getting is curses? Have you desired something good and still hadn't come to pass? Has this world been rough on you and has maybe life been about to wear you out at times? You feel like it's just wearing you out and just can't seem to take it anymore? Which is, I'll tell you folks something today, you know. I and my wife, Linda, we've been through some very, very difficult times in this world, pastoring for all these years, 30-some, what's it, 1983. That's a lot of years of pastoring people and dealing with demonic fires and demonic attacks and spiritual warfare and deliverance for people. I tell you, we've been through some things that very difficult time in this world. But remember the but. Remember the but. But the but is that, hey, I am blessed. And the one thing that I have learned over the years is that Jesus really does love me and wants to continually show it to me, too, in a real and living way, too, not just as words on a page. And you know what? The truth is for you, too. I mean, just I'm no better than you. And if he just wants to show that love to me, he wants to show it to you, too. And he wants to make it real to you. And he wants you to know that you're blessed of God who made heaven and earth. And so he, Jesus, really does love you. And he does want to continually show you that. Amen. And why would Jesus love a person? And why would he actively pursue blessing a person? Well, I'll tell you why. Because of love. And because I chose to make Jesus number one in my life. Have you chosen to make him number one in your life? In fact, he chose, if we choose him first above anyone and anything else, his blessing will actually overtake us. Amen. Amen. That's right. His blessing will actually overtake you. Did you know that? Show me. Well, go to Deuteronomy 28. Let's read a scripture here. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments or word, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all the these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall thy basket be, and thy store, and blessed shalt thou be when thou cometh in, and blessed shalt thou be when I goeth out. The Lord shall cause thine enemy that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command a blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thy hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Hallelujah. You see that? This is real, folks. I know it. I've lived it. And I've been living in it. And this is not some little game that we could talk about and how nice if that were really true. Well, it is really true. God's not a man that he should lie from. Amen? We've proven it. I've proven it or I wouldn't preach it. Oh, yeah. Do you still get attacked by devils and difficulties? Yeah. If you're in this world, right, you get attacked with tribulation, but he said, be a good cheer. I've overcome the world. Amen? But, you know, I've proven his word to be true. It's not a lie. And it really does work. And I really have seen the goodness of God in the land of the living many times. And I really have seen the healing power of God in my life. And sometimes I've had to just stand in faith longer. And I see a lot of people being attacked physically with this COVID thing. I see a lot of people under physical and mental attack. But you know what? The word of God is still true. And he's not a man that he should lie. He's God that tells the truth. And we can stand on the truth. Amen? I'm doing it. And I want to share some keys to help you live in the blessing of the Lord here. Because I'm telling you, God in these days wants you to live in his blessing. Remember this. Anything the devil does against you, God is able to turn it around and make it into a blessing. Amen. Jesus can make something out of evil intentions that have been had against you by the enemy. You need to know that. That God can turn things around that look impossible. I've seen it happen too many times, folks. Jesus can make something out of evil intentions of Satan. Even though God did offer the evil, he can change it. Satan persecuted the early church to shut it down to stop it. But by that evil, God spread the good news throughout the known world. And he turned the evil intent to good. Amen. And the early church was bold. And they went forth healing the sick and casting out devils and just doing what the word says. And look at this church today. Doesn't need to be any different than that. And so to walk in God's blessing, we need to have endurance. We need to have staying power. We need to have stick-to-itiveness. A lot of people don't have that today. They don't stick to it. When the going gets rough, they just start running. They start fleeing. Okay, I'm telling you, to walk in God's blessing, we're going to have endurance. The early church fathers, they called endurance the queen of all virtues. Endurance was the queen of all virtues. That's what they called it. Like a bulldog or a little dog who finally found the bone of their dream. It said, my bone. You could tug, you could pull, you could coax, but I'm not letting go. And then growls that dog at you and says, this is my bone. Hey, that's staying power. That's endurance. Not if you win the battle, it's when you win the battle. Amen. We're not in this. Oh, hopefully we'll win the battle. No. We've already won the battle in Christ Jesus. And we got to walk that way, talk that way, act that way. See, it's not if you win the battle, it's win, staying power, endurance. The Bible says that James, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Remember that scripture in James chapter 1? We could go read it. I quoted it. But let's go read it. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And let patience have her. Right? It's in the Greek sense compared to a pregnant woman. Let it go full term. In other words, don't abort what God has promised. Listen, God has given us great and precious promises. Don't abort what God's promised. Let it go full term. Let it go to full 9 months. Let it come into full manifestation. You know, many Christians don't quit because of some sin in their life. They quit because they get tired of waiting. They get tired of waiting on God. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, it says there, Jay. You know, often right before they're going to receive the greatest blessing of God, discouragement comes and they give up, they quit. Yeah, I've seen it happen, watching Christians all these years. But right before a blessing, sometimes they just give up, they quit. Right before they start to see this breakthrough, right before they start to see their deliverance take place, right before they're going to receive the great blessing of God, discouragement comes in, and they get weary, and they quit. Weariness. And we know the devil uses the spirit of weariness, try to wear you out at times. You know, the enemy try to wear me out with this attack on my body, but in Jesus' name, he's not prevailing. He's not prevailing. Amen. Yeah. And I'm seeing great improvement. But I've got a ways to go still. But hey, I'm seeing the improvement. I'm seeing the grace of God. I'm standing on the word of God for myself and my wife. Amen. Hebrews 10:35. Says here, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. How many know that people have cast away what they shouldn't have cast away, and now they're walking in the area of weakness that they should be walking in because they can't let something go. They cast it away. See, James is written to the same people as the book of Hebrews, but Hebrews are written approximately 30 years later. And now 30 years later, they're being told, cast not away your confidence. Parhesia is the Greek word here, and it means frank boldness of speech. This has to do with your word, with your confession, with your profession of faith, and the vision in your heart, and the vision of the reality of the word of God that you have embraced. But 30 years have gone by here, and God has still not done what they wanted him to do. See, the same Greek word used about blind Bartimaeus, he cast away his garment, is used right here. He cast them away because they were keeping him from where he wanted to go, to Jesus. And what do we have that is keeping us from Jesus right now? What do we have that's in the way, that garment, something that is a weight to us, that is something that the demonic realm, that is keeping us from Jesus and his blessing? They were about to cast away their confidence in God because they were tired. They were tired. How many know that we don't get weary in well-doing? For in due season we reap if we faint not. Listen, there's been a lot of fainting going on right now. There's a lot of compromise in the churches today. A lot of demons are getting their way with a lot of Christians today because people are fainting. It's not time for fainting. It's time for standing strong. It's time for resisting the devil. It's time for realizing that we are engaged in intense spiritual conflict. And if we don't determine to win, we're not going to win. There's times when it's just overwhelming. You feel like you can't do it. But by the grace of God, you could do all things through Christ. And you don't let go of your confession and your profession and the vision in your heart, even if 30 years have gone by and God's still not done what you want him to do. He cast away his garment, whatever gets in the way. And they were about to cast away their confidence in God because they were tired. And this believing was keeping them from doing fleshly things like being in unbelief towards God and discouragement and depression and demonic attack and control. And yet if we wait a year for God to answer a prayer and bring a blessing, it seems like eternity for most Christians. Something's wrong with that. You know, I prayed for my mother for decades to be saved, you know, and I did a quit. And finally she got saved, see? But how many people get impatient after 6 months? How many people get impatient after 1 month? How many people don't hold fast to their profession? Hebrews 10:36. What does it say here? It says, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. See? You got to hold on, people. Hold on. Don't let go so easily with the sin that so easily besets us. People let go and give in. Hey, you waited 30 years for something and someone tells you you need patience. What do you usually want to do? You like to hit them upside the head or something, right? So you've been waiting all those years and nothing happened yet? But God gives us a key here. In verse 37 of chapter 10 here of Hebrews, look at what he's saying here. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Why is God telling us? Why would he put something here about the second coming of Christ, about his return to earth? Why would he put something in here like that? What's up with that? Why did he do that? Well, all believers are convinced that Jesus is coming back, right? I mean, if you're really a believer, you believe Jesus is coming someday. You know, he's coming at the last trumpet according to the word of God. So he's saying, you know, we need to be as convinced that Jesus is going to answer our prayers as we are convinced that Jesus is coming back. In other words, that's why he put that in there. Even if it is 30 years, even if it is 10 years, even if it is 20 years, even if it is a time period that you don't want to be patient for, that you don't want to wait, and you don't want to stand there and resist and do spiritual battle until you see that whatever supposed to take place. So he's saying we need to be convinced. Just as convinced that God is going to answer our prayers as we are that Jesus Christ is coming back. And the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul, verse 38, shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back out of perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. There are going to be those who do draw back. But we're not of those, see? We need to declare that over ourselves. We need to speak that. I'm not of those who draw back out of perdition. I'm not doing that. I'm going to the finish line here. I'm running this race all the way. Amen? Amen. Perdition. That word perdition is apaleo. And it does not refer to hell and eternal damnation. It speaks of temporary ruin in life. Perdition, temporary ruin in life. Someone who was moving forward, embracing God, embracing Jesus, the things of God, and walking by faith and in faith. But now all of a sudden they draw back into ruin. They lost the fire of God in their life. They let go of the open heaven over their life. They let go of the fire in their life. We need to let it go full term, folks. James 1:4. We need to let it go full term. Remember? But let patience have her perfect work, full term work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let it go full term. to go all the way. We're not in this for the short haul. We're in this for the long race, all the way to the finish line. We're going to let it go to full term. Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally. Upbraid it not, and it shall be given to him. And now who is he speaking to here now? He's speaking to the skeptic. He's speaking to the one who says, well, I've been asking, and I've been asking God to bless me and to answer my prayers, and it seems like nothing seems to be happening. But it seems like nothing's happening. And so he says, ask God, don't ask me. Do you lack understanding? Ask God. He said of God. What? What did he say here? It's where we get our word, Greek word para, our word parasite from. But it's the Greek word para here. Literally, we get as close to God as we can get to him. That's what needs to take place. See? Get as close to him as we can. Let nothing, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a weed with the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Yeah. Well, I don't know if he'll answer me. He said, ask of him that giveth. Who is him that giveth? He didn't say ask of him who giveth not. He said ask of him that giveth. Now, if he's the one who giveth, then what is he the one that does? He's the one that giveth. Right? Well, I don't know if he'll answer me. He said, ask of him that giveth. He's not the Lord of the quenched fish or the one that doesn't give it. He's the one that giveth liberally and upbraideth not. Right? But let him ask how. How do you ask? You have to ask. Not someone else ask. You have to ask. You're the one in difficulty. You're the one struggling. You're the one that's dealing with a demon problem. You're the one with the wisdom problem. Hey, let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. That word wavering is dikraino, diakraino, and it means to differ, a judgment that goes back and forth, up and down, back and forth, up and down. And now he gives us an illustration here, and it shows us why many Christians today receive absolutely nothing from God when they should be receiving all kinds of things. It says here, like a wave of the sea. You know I spent some of my years growing up on the coast, and I looked at the waves. I was a surfer. I used to surf. I liked to get on them waves with my surfboard and do that. I wasn't saved. But, you know, I was doing the things that lost people do, messing around on the beach with the girls and all that, and you know, being cool, thinking I was cool. But you know what? That's not cool at all. But we thought it was because we were lost, and we were doing what lost people did. But I like to look at the waves and catch the waves. And you ever looked at waves of the sea? They could be beautiful. And you might want to just keep looking at them for a long time. But you know what? They don't last very long. They crest and they're gone. It crests, it breaks, it tumbles into the water, and it's history. And it doesn't really disappear, but it just goes back into the current. It begins to build once again. And you know, it begins to look so powerful. Sometimes a lot of things look so powerful and impressive. And about that time, it crashes and tumbles and disappears. And again, the same process with different waves. Same process, different ways. See, and this is why some of you are not receiving anything from God. You need to remember this. Faith stands still. Faith stands still. Say it out loud. Faith stands still. See, when a person is not in true faith, he is always changing. He is constantly moving. The wave may look impressive, and it may sound impressive, but it's empty and it's gone. See? Empty and it's gone. Not there. Even they blame God for their inconsistency. And now God told me this. God told me to do this. God told me to. Hey, God doesn't change his mind all the time, like so many Christians think that they do. You know, one week this, God told me this, the next week God told me this, next week God told me this. You know, come on, God's not changing his mind all the time. It may look beautiful, but it breaks and it falls. And eventually all your ways are inconsistent. And therefore, they're getting nothing from God. And God didn't call you to inconsistency. He called you to set your face like a flint. He called you to stand against the wiles of the devil. He called you to, having done all, stand and put your enemy in his place where he belongs. He called you to cast out devils in Jesus' name. He called you to be bold as a lion, to be out of shame of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He didn't call you to just look beautiful and the crest and be no more and change all the time and be inconsistent in your walk. See, many Christians never see things through to the end. Their faith is like that, like this. It builds and it builds, and then tomorrow it's gone, or it's some new thing. Well, what about last week? You were telling us last week that God told you this. That, oh, I don't want to talk about that. You know, I talked to some Christians not too long back. I was talking to them, and I said, well, you said this and you said that, and I told them all, reminded them of all the things that they said. And they said, well, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about that. That was then. Listen. It shows their inconsistency. It shows that they're not solid in their faith. They're not solid in their walk, see? But they had told me all those things for sure. And, oh, yeah, this is my dream, and this is the best, and this is just what I really wanted, and I'll never get tired of this. And they told me all those things, and I reminded it of them. And they said, well, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. We don't want to talk about it. Well, yeah, okay. It's because you're weak in your walk, disgusting in your walk of faith, and you're wishy-washy. And it's no wonder that things are so flaky and fruity in your life and it's not going anywhere because you're inconsistent in your walk. Come on. And then they don't want to talk about it. See, many Christians never see things through to the end. Their faith is like this. I mean, it builds and builds and then tomorrow it's gone. Or it's like some new thing, see? Some new thing. Yeah, verse 7 here. It's for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. This person received nothing, and it isn't God's fault at all. It isn't God's fault at all. God wants to bless him, but he can't. Why? Because it's hard to hit a moving target. God would, but he can't. Right? Think about it. God hears his name. Oh, God, I want you to do this in my life. I want you to do that. I believe in this. I believe it. God sends an angel to go down there and meet that person's need. The angel shows up and nobody's there. What happened to the person? What happened to all these great things he's saying, all this faith talk and all this? What happened? Again, familiar voice to God. Oh, Father God, now I know what I want to do, want you to do in my life. And God sends an angel to meet his needs, and then nobody's there again. Again, a third time, Father hears a familiar voice. Father God, now I know what I want you to do in my life and to be in my life. And God says to the angel, hey, you better hurry up. You better hurry up and get there fast because they'll change their mind again. Right? How many times is that the case? How many times is that the case? Right? Come on, people. We got to, having done all, stand and keep standing and not be moved so easily by all the winds of adversity, the winds of our feelings, the winds of our double-mindedness. Come on. Set our face like a flint. Huh? It's not that God won't. It's he can't. Right? Here, see, verse 8 here, this is what God thinks about it. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's what God thinks about it. Double-minded person, whether man or woman. A modern-day translation is a two-headed person. You know, if I was in church one Sunday and preaching the gospel, you know, to our church, and while I'm teaching and preaching the words, suddenly this person comes in with two heads, right? He comes into the church service, and I'm preaching the word, and he comes and sits on the front row with two heads on his shoulder, and one head said, I want to sit over here and listen. And the other head said, no, I want to sit here. And then they started arguing with each other. Finally, sitting right in the front of the congregation, right, sitting right in the front the whole time while I'm preaching, one head said, I like that. And the other head, I don't believe a word of that. I don't believe a word of that. The other head said, I like what he's saying. I like what he's saying. The other head said, I don't believe a word of that. Just arguing back and forth, arguing back and forth. Man, I believe that we would all agree that that person was a big freak, wouldn't we? Absolutely. He's a big freak. She's a big freak. Something's wrong there with that individual. But that's the way a lot of Christians are in their walk with God. They're double-minded. They got spirits with double-mindedness, and they grabbed a hold of them and dug in and built a stronghold in their lives. And now they're unstable in their walk, and they're not getting anything from God. God wants to give us the good things of the kingdom, but somehow people are not getting them. Why? Because they're double-minded. They got two heads, right? It's arguing back and forth, right? So now we should find out God's opinion of someone who can't make up their mind and follow it through, right? We find out God's opinion. What is it? They're unstable in all their ways, double-minded, unstable in all their ways. Remember, he's a God that changes not, right? That's what the Bible says. I, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. Hebrews 13:8. I'm the Lord, I change not. I mean, this ought to tell you something about standing in faith here. Right? So what's the key to becoming perfect and entire and wanting nothing? I tell you, it's real simple. It's simple as anything. It's just stick with it. Go all the way to the end with God. Okay? Don't abort it. Don't argue with him about it. Don't get offended at him about it. Just go all the way to the end with God about the subject. See? Become perfect, entire, and wanting nothing. Stick with it. Go all the way to the end. Don't fret about it. Don't worry about it. Endurance. Remember? I mentioned that word endurance a while ago. With this endurance, no longer if, but when I receive. It's no longer if I'm healed. It's when I'm healed. It's the manifestation of the fullness of the power that God has promised in our life. We don't wishy-washy about it. We don't get double-minded about it. We just lay hold on that which is ours and not to let go, no matter what the devil says or anybody else for that matter. Amen? It's all out war, folks. It's all out war. We are fighting the good fight of faith. We are resisting the demons that are so easily grabbing a hold on our lives and bring us into a position of bondage because we so easily yield to them. We so easily yield to lust. We so easily yield to the besetting sin. See, the Bible says that. It's so easily done. And it shouldn't be so easy. We make life miserable for the devil and make it very hard on him to put stuff on us. Amen, people. This is not little game playing, tiptoe through the tulip in the garden. Hey, we got to get serious because this is the last days and the devil's very serious about what he's doing right now on the earth. And if it don't take a rocket scientist to see that. Just look around. People are dying in the church. People dying, well-known people dying. They're being killed. People are taking vaccinations that are killing them. People are having heart failure. They're having all kinds of things. This stuff is just absolutely crazy what's going on. And it's because what? Because people are listening to devils instead of to God and his word and laying fast hold on the word of God. Excuse me, I'm having a drink here of water. Thank you, Jesus, because I've just been talking. But I'm almost done here. We're still going to do some deliverance tonight as well when I'm done with this word. And I could go on and on and on here because, you know, I got fire of God on me right now. Fire for all. The baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, right? If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, you need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you need to pray in tongues like Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. I pray in tongues every day. Every day. Paul did it too. We need the fire. We need fire for all. We've been pressing into God for more of the fullness of God and the power of the Holy Spirit here. That's what we're doing here. See, we're doing something spiritual here right now. Something spiritual is taking place, and we're pushing through some things that the enemy wants to keep in place in people's lives. And you have to push through. You can't just be, you know, laid back on these things. But some have seen what moving into God means and are not sure they want it. Others think it's a big party. Hey, we need to explore more about this pressing into God, because you know what? You might not want to, you know? There's some people that really don't want to. They don't really want fire for all. They don't want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire, okay? But listen, I've determined to do so, and I'm going to continue ahead, and I'm not quitting, okay? I'm not going to quit my walk with Jesus. Well, you know, you're getting older now. Yeah. No, it doesn't matter. Look at John, the Revelator. He went in, it is said he went in to preach it. He just says, God loves you. You know, he just told them love. And the whole place went through the roof, right? That God is able and capable of filling us beyond that which any of us can handle to a place that we've never been before. Amen. See, God has more than any of us can take, especially in our present state. Okay, and I guarantee you this is the truth. He's able to fill you beyond what any of us could handle. But we want as much as we can handle, don't we? Are you sure? How much do you really want? Hey, are you really sure? You know, we're pretty familiar with the baptism in the water and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but what about the baptism of fire? To baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Just how comfortable are we with that? I'm going to read Luke 3:16 here. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. Whoa, fire burns. It can hurt to put your hand in the fire, right? The Bible says the fan is in his hand. Look at verse 17. He's going to burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. You know, we sing songs, fed the fire, Lord. Are you sure you want that? Are you sure you want that fire? The fan is in his hand. Refiner's fire, my heart's one desire. Oh, really? See, God knows how much heat is needed in your life and my life to make you what you have to be used for his glory in this day and time we're living in right now. He knows. And God is going to allow it to become hot to remove the weakness in your armor and the weakness in your life of demons, their strongholds, and their places where they built a fortress in your life. God is going to allow it to become hot. And in God's army, men aren't real leaders until they've seen some battles. Some blood and some guts flying around. And God's army is composed of people who have been hurt, who've been wounded, who've been fixed and healed and delivered by God, even though they might walk with a limp like Jacob did, right? They might walk that way. But the fire comes to burn up and out all the junk inside of them that is not godly. And when we avoid the baptism of fire, we're missing something fundamental to our faith, something fundamental to our faith walk in Jesus. There is something lacking in our Pentecostal experiences. We preach and talk a message that we don't even believe. We give lip service to it, and yet we live differently at home. Something's wrong here. Man, something's wrong. We talk about the book of Acts, but then we don't do the things written in the book of Acts. Either the book of Acts is real, and it's real for today just as much as it was when the early church walked the face of the earth and saw the power of God manifest, or it's all a lie. And I'm telling you, I don't believe it's a lie, because the Bible says that he said, wait at Jerusalem till we receive power from on high, Acts 1:8, right? And here we got all these Christians put on these little fish stands and bumper snickers on their cars while they're smoking cigarettes, puffing down the road. And they have their little fish signs on there. And come on. Come on, they don't live it. They don't pay their bills. They lie. They cheat. Their lives are not consistent. They don't love their husbands. They love their wives and their family. Something's wrong here. Something's wrong here. There's a reason that we are not endued with power from on high. Okay? The Bible said that we would receive power when the Holy Ghost came upon us. It said we would receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon us, right? Doesn't say that we receive power when the Holy Ghost. It says after the Holy Ghost comes upon us, right? And see, we haven't arrived when we received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We just got on the boat. We just took off and left the pier. Okay? We left port. It's a birth into a life that should take us from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from victory to victory, from casting out devils to casting out more devils. We need more than just the basic precepts of faith. Oh, no. There's much more here, folks. Much more. And the church is not even preaching the whole gospel. How many churches don't even preach deliverance from demons today? How many preachers don't even preach the full gospel of the baptism of the Holy Spirit today, that you shall receive your own prayer language when you receive power from on high, and that you'll be able to pray in tongues anytime you want? Oh, man, we need more than just the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We need the baptism of fire, a fire that's already kindled and already burning because Jesus was there in Luke 12. It was burning when he looked at the Pharisees and said, ye make clean the outward, but within it full of nothing but uncleanness and dead man's bones. Ah, come on. He burned them with his fire. And he's still burning people with fire today. Amen. But can we take the fire? Can we take the fire today? I tell you what, I think that we can, because I think God called us to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. And I believe that God called us into that kind of a life. Yeah. So Jesus burned him, and the fire burned until it killed him. But in killing him, they didn't put the fire out, did they? Putting him across to the cross, they didn't put the fire out. In fact, they made the fire burn more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that fire is going to keep burning until Jesus comes today, and we're getting to see the glory of God, and it's going to be powerful like we have not seen. Just because we're living in the last days and Satan's manifesting his ugliness, it doesn't mean God isn't going to manifest his glory and his power as well. I tell you, we're going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living too. We might see the evil of darkness, but we're also going to see God show up. Amen. Verse 28. Of Acts 5, probably should be my last scripture. I need to wind this up here. But it says here, saying, did not we straightly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Hey, this better be our story right now in these latter days, these end time days, before the return of the Lord. We ought to obey God rather than man. I don't care what man says. I don't care about the lies of the devil. Hey, what is God saying? We better obey God rather than man. Amen? That's what counts. Amen. See, there's more to spirituality in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and laying on in hand. Oh, yeah. We need to have commitment. We need to have endurance. We need to have consistency in our walk in the day that we live in. Something surely is lacking sorely in the American church. Sacrifice is something we have to make ourselves do, because the baptism of fire never seared our flesh and burned us and burned up the junk in there. We haven't allowed it to do what it's supposed to be doing. Fire is supposed to burn up all those selfish ways in us until it extinguishes their ability to feel. The word says God's fire will thoroughly purge his threshing floor. He's going to burn up all that is not right and good and godly. See, it's a shame that pastors have to coax their flock to read the Bible, to pray, to speak in tongues, to even come to church, to go out of their way and extend kindness outside their circle of comfort, to be concerned about anything other than themselves most of the time, and be so selfish as the church is nowadays. It's amazing. We need a holy fire to burn the hardness off of our heart and to soften our hearts and tenderize us with the love of God, that we might care one for another, that they might know that we're Christians by the love we have one for another, not for just the love we have for ourselves all the time and our nothing but selfish lifestyle that we live so much of the time. It's all about us. No, it's supposed to all be about Jesus. Come on, people, now. I'm almost done here. I'm about ready to stop. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. See, much of what you've been going through lately is for a reason, and you might not even know the reason. But I'm telling you there's a reason, and God has a reason, and he has a purpose for you being alive right now. And it's not a vain purpose either. Oh, yeah. The fire is burning. Why, Lord, I can't take it anymore. No more. But he also said, no more than you can bear. But, Lord, it's time to burn off more chaff. Oh, no. I want in more of that. Fear needs to be burned up. The lust needs to be burned up. The selfishness needs to be burned up. The hoarding needs to be burned up. The worldliness. What gives the church power today? I'll tell you what gives the church power. The power comes when the church dies to itself. See, God's true church is not a social club. It's a church that completely sold out. The true church is not a place for the gossips and the slanderers to hang out. It is a marching army, end-time army of dedicated people, men and women of God who love not themselves unto the death. Hey, money can't buy them. Lust can't overcome them. God holds them in the palm of his hand, and no weapon formed against them shall prosper. See, the church doesn't like preaching about living right and doing things according to the word, because it brings the fire in and the fire burns, and people don't like the fire. They want to put out the fire. They don't want the fire. But we need to put the flesh in its place and show by our actions, not our words alone, that we love God more than we love our flesh. And our way is that we love him more than we love our own selfish ways of darkness. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to stop there because I could go on and on and on. Hallelujah. But we love not our lives even unto the death, the Bible says. That's right. Do we have that attitude yet? What kind of attitude do we have? Or do we have an attitude where we're just all about us? We need to grow up. We need to mature. This is the last day hour. And it's time for the Church of God to be maturing and maturing and growing and not just sitting there stagnant and not getting anything from God, not able to receive anything from God. Come on. Time for more than that. More than that. Amen. Father, we thank you for the fire. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you for your presence, Lord. Jesus' name, we give you the glory for these words tonight that we've shared by the power of the Spirit of God, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, God, by your Spirit. We have shared these things, and I pray make a difference in people's lives, Lord. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll be back in a few minutes to do some deliverance for the rest of the program.
Is within me. Bless his holy name.
come against spirits of witchcraft right now that are being sent out against Christians on this weekend. But people are all caught up into the candy, really, and tricks and treats and all that. Come on now. There's something wrong here. But we beg you, this is a serious thing, the witchcraft that's being released and Satanism. We break the curses of witchcraft and command the spirits of witchcraft to come out of people right now. We cancel the assignment of witchcraft right now in the name of Jesus. We command those spirits of occultism, witchcraft, Satanism, go, come out. We break hexes, vexes, spells, and jinxes and send them back where you're coming from, where they're coming from right now in the name of Jesus. We break and cancel those hexes, vexes, spells, and jinxes in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. We command the spirit of death to go right now, that spirit of death. We rebuke the spirit of death trying to get on people over this weekend and over this whole month. We've been watching people dealt with this, get attacked by these death spirits. You come out, come out, come out, come on. All those spirits of death, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All those spirits of COVID, go. We command those spirits of COVID, those demons of COVID. You go right now. We break the power of those demons of COVID in Jesus' name. We break the power of fevers and infections. You go right now in the name of Jesus. I bind you and break your hold right now. No weapon formed against us shall prosper in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out, 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 out of there. All the way out. Come out. Come out. Come out now, move in the name of Jesus. I bind you. Come out all the way out, up and out, up and out, up and out of it. All the way out, all those spirits of COVID, all the way out. All those spirits of death, come out, destruction, come out. All the way out, spirit of destruction, spirit of death, come out, 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 out. All the way out, I bind you, we break your hold. Come out, come out, come out. All the way out. Come out, those spirits of double-mindedness. You come out. The double-minded spirits, really, we rebuke them right now. Those double-minded spirits, in Jesus' name, you go. You come out of there, go. Come out, 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 out of there. All that double-minded demon, you go in the name of Jesus right now. Come out, unbelief. Come out, spirits of unbelief. Go in the name of Jesus right now. All that unbelieving spirit, I bind you, I break your power. Come out, out, come out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way. That spirit of paganism, you come out. Come on, paganism rooted, this whole thing is rooted in paganism and the occult. And we just command those spirits to go right now. Come out, come out, come out in Jesus' name. All that paganism, go, 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 go. Go, we break the power of the druids. Come out in Jesus' name. We send it back. Those spirits, where they're coming from, come out in Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. Jesus' name. If you have any kind of Halloween decorations, even Christian, so-called Christian ones, even if there's no such thing as Christian Halloween. But the point is, if you have anything, burn them, get rid of them, destroy them. Don't have any evil decorations even on your property. Hey, don't even have it. And we command all the wicked spirits that came in to you or your children through participating in Halloween at some point in life before maybe you had the sins you have now. We just command those spirits of Halloween to go right now. Trick or treat, go. Get out of there. Come out, 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 out of there, all the way out. Break any spells and jinxes and witchcraft. Go in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out. Command any demon spirit that enters you or your household or your children through any prior participation of any kind. Come out. Go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. And again, don't you give out candy or any kind of treats or food. And anybody who comes to your house, because if you participate even in giving out candy or food of any kind to those who come to your door or your party or whatever, you're a part of it, and it brings curses on you, and you be cursed. pay for any part of it, any type of part. You know, doesn't matter if you call it Christian and harvest parties and all that baloney that Christians do that try to put the blessing of the church on the things of the world. Hey, it's still cursed, and it's not going to be a blessing any way you look at it. It's time of honoring darkness. That's nothing but a celebration of death, witchcraft, Satanism, occultism, yeah, and participating in witchcraft. And it's forbidden by all Christians. Hello? Come on. How could you be a part of something like that? Go. Come out. All the way out. Go. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke those spirits. Come out. 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 The blood of Jesus against it right now. The blood of Jesus against all those unbelieving spirits, all that double-mindedness. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way out. Go. In the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. In Jesus' name, we have authority over all the power of the wicked one. These demons are subject to us. Luke 10:19 says the spirits are subject to us. You come out of there. Go. Come out. Come out. Come on. All the way out. All the way out. People glorifying haunted houses. If you've ever been to a haunted house, you've been cursed. So we break the curse of the haunted house. And if you ever hung out in cemetery, a lot of people do that. Come out. We break that curse over you. Come out. In Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Jack-o'-lantern curses. You make faces of jack-o'-lanterns and carve those demonic faces. We break that curse over you. Command the spirit to go too. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of it. Go. In Jesus' name. Go all the way out. Spirits of infirmity, spirit of sickness, spirits of disease, go, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of it, go, in the name of Jesus right now, loose the people, let them go, all the way, spirits of lust, spirits of anger, spirits of fearfulness, come out, go, in the name of Jesus right now, go, come out, come out, come out. All the way out. Keep going. Up and out of it. In the name of Jesus, that fearfulness, you come out. Fearfulness. Go all the way out. All that fearfulness, you have to loose people and let them go. All that fearfulness, we call you the fearfulness spirit. Yeah, we cause fear. Cause people not be able to have peace and rest. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. All the way out, up and out. The blood is against you. Spirits of depression, spirits of heaviness. Come out. Come on, all the way out. Come out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, go, 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 go. Spirit of depression, all the way out. Job's daughters, break that curse. Curse of Job's daughters, you come out, all the way out. Go, in the name of Jesus. Loose them, let them go all the way out, all the way up out of there. All that curse of Job's daughter, you cancel that assignment over you. Command the spirits to come out. Come on. Having your fortune told. We break that curse. Jesus' name. We break and cancel the assignment of that spirit. Command the spirit to come out of having your fortune told. Go, in Jesus' name. Palm reading. Go, right now. Go. All that palm reading. Go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Fantasy. Come out. All that fantasy. Fantasy. Come out. Spirits of fantasy. Occult fantasy. Come out. In Jesus' name. All that occult fantasy. I bind you. I break your hold. You're a liar. Come out now. All the fantasy, occult fantasy, you have to go. Gaming spirits through all those different games, playing those games, come out, open yourself up for demons, bloodletting, bloodlust, come out, all the way out, go. In the name of Jesus, those gaming spirits command you to go. now in Jesus' name. All those gaming spirits, go, 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 come out, all the way out in Jesus' name. All those gaming spirits, all those fantasy games, come out. Bloodletting games, come out. Lust and sexual games, go in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out of there, all the way out. All the way. The nicotine spirit, you go. Come on, the nicotine spirit. Bondage to nicotine. Bondage to tobacco. I bind you. You come out of there. All the way out. All the way out. Come out. Come out of there. All the way. All that bondage to tobacco. Come out. Come out. Come out. Bondage to swearing and profanity. Man, that profanity. You go in Jesus' name. Come on, that profane spirit. Foul mouth spirit. Come out. Using foul language. Come out. Come out. Come on. Come out. All the way out. Using the Lord's name and name. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus right now. Loose them and let them go all the way out. All the way up out of there. Go in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Keep coming out. Keep coming out. Up out of there. I bind you, demons. You're a lying bunch of evil creatures. And it binds you right now and commands you to loose people and let them go all the way out. All the way out. Go right now. Go. Keep going. Smoking weed spirit. You go right now. Smoking weed. All that weed. Oh, but it's legalized. It's legal weed. Yeah, well, that made it legal in God's eyes. Just because they made Halloween a legal holiday doesn't mean it's God's holiday. Come out. Come on. All these lies and deceptions. You go right now. All the way out. We command you to loose people and let them go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of there all the way out. Mormonism. Come out. Those Mormon spirits. Come out. Go in Jesus' name. Go, go, go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out now. Go in the name of Jesus. Loose them and let them go. Come out. A spirit of offense is offended at God. Those spirits of offense, you come out right now. All those spirit of offended at God, you got to go right now. Come out. Come out. Come on. All that offended at God, you come out of there right now. And we thank you for victory for the offended, that the offenses will not prevail. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Come out of there all the way out. All that offended at God, those offenses, and we thank you for victory for the offended. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, the blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus, go, keep going, all the way out, all the way out, in Jesus' name, loose people, let their minds go, we bind mind control, mind-binding spirits over the mind, command you to go right now, loose the people's mind, loose the people's mind, come out, come out, come out. Come out, all those mind-binding spirits. You come out in Jesus' name. Out, 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 out of there. All the way out. Go. Those mind-binding spirits. Break mind control over your mind right now. This is the mind of God, not the mind of a devil. We break the control of the mind of a devil in Jesus' name. We thank you for a sound mind. We thank you for a God mind, the mind of Christ. You go right now. Get out of there. Go, 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 go. Go, go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. Come all the way out of the mind. The blood of Jesus over your mind. We thank you that we have authority over this mind, and we will take authority over this mind. And this mind will do what we tell it to do and what the Word tells it to do. We break the power of the twisted mind. Thank you. You come out of there, unstable, unstable mind. Come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus right now. Go, 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 go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the irritable mind, always being irritated. Come out, the irritable mind. I bind that irritable mind. In the name of Jesus, command it to go. In the name of Jesus, go, go, go. All that irritated mind, come out. That angry mind, come out. Rebellious mind, come out. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke those spirits. Command you to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for sealing this deliverance that people have received today. And Lord, thank you for the word, the anointed word that you gave me tonight to share. Praise God, Father. Thank you, Lord, for healing my body, Linda's body, and any of the listeners that are sick. Lord, we pray for their body to be healed too in Jesus' name. And we rebuke it, the COVID spirit and any other spirit, the vaccine demons as well, all of that. We rebuke those spirits and say no devil in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. So thank you for listening tonight. I want you to know that we appreciate those of you who prayed for us to get better. It has been quite a challenge, but in Jesus' name, we're doing better. Linda's a little bit behind me, so I'm praying for her complete and total recovery as well. She helped me out last broadcast when I just said there's no way it was a fever. I had fever for all those days that I was going to be able to do the broadcast last time when she did it for me. So I appreciate that she did that and shared with you guys, got to, you know, hear a word from Sister Linda anyway, which she hadn't been on in a while. So praise God for that. And so, yeah, continue to pray for us. We're praying for you. I pray for all the listeners to this broadcast, and especially those who support it financially. Definitely always praying for you guys as well. And so thank you for tuning in tonight. And in Jesus' name, next week we'll be even better. And we're just going to continue to improve. And hallelujah. And we give God all the glory. And thank God for each one of you. And that the Lord will keep you in his secret place and take good care of you. Amen. He loves you. Why wouldn't he do that? Of course he'd do that. You know he's going to do that. You know he's going to care for each one of us. You got to believe that. And live in that unbelief like we talked about today. And live in that faith and know that God's going to take good care of you because you belong to him. Amen. Amen. He is so good. Amen. All right. Well, we'll see you back next week, same time. And I pray that the Lord will bless you this weekend, give you a good weekend, and surround you with a hedge of protection from all the evil that's going on in this wicked world out there. And know that we belong to the Lord, and we're in his hand and in his arms of love, and the world is not going to get us. That's right. The world's not going to get us. God has us. Amen. All right. See you next week. Amen, folks. All right. Well, that's all tonight now. And I thank you for tuning in. And want to know we love you and appreciate each of you. So we will see you back next week.